Hey everybody, it's your boy Mo. Welcome back to the Cinematic Vineyard.
It feels so lovely to be here tonight. What a beautiful art. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so lovely.
With the usual schedule, you know, back to the movie reviews. I was just looking at like my selections and like my older videos and stuff like that, and just, man, like they really like got out of control for a second. Like I was doing a movie review, then I would just have an episode where I'm talking about literally whatever's going on in the world.
Stupid idiot.
It's unorganized, of course, but I mean like it don't look, you know, pretty. It just don't look pretty. I'm just gonna say that. But today we're getting back on it. And today we're going to talk about a movie that just recently came out. A movie that when the first one came out, we're talking about Black Panther, god damn it. When the first Black Panther came out, I remember it was my first week working at Cinemark. I just got the job. It was like February, I believe. I believe that's when the first Black Panther came out.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
So, the first Black Panther came out, and this will help me out. Yeah, February 16th, and it was like the week that Black Panther came out. And I've been to theaters before. I worked there, that like when a new movie come out, a blockbuster, I've been to different theaters for different large movies. And I've never seen like just the wild like fandom and just how everything went down when the movie came out. Like I was working in the movie theater, so I got to see like the aftermath of like theaters and during like the movie in the theater, what was going on, just like how energized the theater was, how lit the theater was when that movie was going on was different. I mean, how trashed and I mean how packed every movie theater was for Black Panther was crazy. It was just, it was something I'd never seen before. And then also getting the experience to see it, I got caught up in the hype. And I wouldn't even say hype. It was just, it was a crazy wave. And it was like the perfect sense of, catching lightning in the bottle. It was the perfect sense of that. And I remember watching it and just getting swept up in that as well. And it was really special. And at the same time, the movie was really well. Sadly, it was led by the great Chadwick Boseman, who is no longer here with us. To be completely honest, I feel like Chadwick Boseman was a generational talent in our generation, just easily. He was a generational talent. And it was so sad to see him go at such a young age. For what he was going through. I mean, he was already strong for the fact that he didn't want to publicly, you know, come out that he was sick or ill. And the fact that they was able to film most and finish filming with him before he passed away. Well, not even finish filming before he passed away. The script was basically done before he passed away. But I mean, I also got to clap to the studio, you know, people to the writers and Ryan Coogler for truly caring about, you know, the legacy of Chadwick Boseman, that even though he's not here, that we're going to honor him when he was here. And I'm not spoiling it, but like just kind of spoiling how I feel about the entire film, Wakanda Forever in itself. I don't feel like it lived completely up to the hype, but at the same time, one thing that I've learned over time, I know I can be very critical with movies and things like that, and I feel like that's just a little bit of my passion. Sometimes it's, you know, I think sometimes it can be good, sometimes it can be bad, but at the end of the day, I gotta realize, and I've been in theater and I've worked on productions before, and I know at the end of the day, people work hard on this shit. That's what we all got to realize on is that people work hard on this and work day and night to make sure that these products come out and this entertainment comes out. And it might not be perfect, but at the end of the day, people work very, very hard on these products. So, you know, at the end of the day, we can at least give them claps for that. But that's the biggest, you know, biggest star I got to give to this movie, is that you can feel the love and you can feel the care that went into production and went into wanting to make this right and wanting to make this feel good. Because to be completely honest, you know, like, phase four of Marvel has been just so lackluster. And like I said in my last pod, if you listen to it,
but nope,
right now, it's just like, I remember last year, just like, even like, I remember skipping prom to watch Endgame.
You what?
And I remember last year watching Loki, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and WandaVision, and, you know, quietly enjoying them. Quietly, I don't know what the hell that
you
means.
You stupid.
I remember enjoying them very much, but now, completely starting phase four, it's been so lackluster, and I have not been keeping up with a lot of what's been going on. I haven't watched Captain Marvel. I haven't watched She-Hulk. I haven't watched Hawkeye. I've been heavily disappointed with Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, which I will review in the future. Other than like Spider-Man Far From Home, like I really enjoyed that. Even like Thor, Thor Love and Thunder, I was so disappointed with that movie, and I think that was like my breaking point, but that's a conversation for another day. But at the end of the day, this movie, Black Panther Wakanda Forever, it doesn't even feel like an MCU movie, and that's where a couple issues come in. Because, you know, even though they took a lot of time rewriting the script and everything, there's obviously a few plot holes, plot conveniences, and, you know, just overall messes in the plot and in the script. But at the end of the day, I do have to praise them for caring about Chadwick's legacy, and I do miss Chadwick, and seeing this movie miss him even more. But kind of getting into it now, if you never heard any of my podcast episodes, I start off with a non-spoiler review. I don't want to spoil anybody. Like, the first half of these episodes are usually just for a synopsis, a non-spoiler synopsis, where I just kind of speak my mind on things I like, things I did not like about the film. And then at the end, I give my personal rating on 0 out of 5 on how I like it. But just kind of jumping into it, because it's kind of a lot to talk about. This movie is 2 hours and 51 minutes. Oh, I'm including credits, man. So it's just like, man, this movie is so long. And I watched this movie twice. So the first time I saw this movie, I saw it with my family. And I think because it was my first time seeing it, and I was like readily excited. I didn't know what to feel. I didn't know what to expect going into it. Well, other than the fact that I knew it was going to definitely be an emotional roller coaster going into it. I knew that for sure, but I didn't know what was going to happen, of course. Going into it, I was just kind of sitting back and just kind of waiting to see what was going to happen. I also had someone in the theater with me. I didn't sneak it in. It was $12 for a freaking little cup of wine, you know, at the movie theaters. That's the last time I'm doing that. But I have me a little cup and a second one, I'm not going to lie. But I was also drinking a little bit, so that probably helped out. But I was just kind of observing. So the first time, I feel like it went by a lot quicker. But the second time, I saw with a friend of mine, and even she said it was a lot longer than we expected. And even I had to like attribute, like, it felt extra, extra long. And I mean, that attributes to the runtime. I mean, 2 hours and 51 minutes. When you see that runtime, you have to know,
I'm fighting for my life,
gonna be a minute. So, you know, on from that, I mean, you got the star-studded cast like you usually do from Lieta Wright. Huh? Hold on, let me take a sip because I don't know how to talk. Lupita Nyong'o, Angela Bassett, who, in my opinion, is the MVP of this movie. Angela Bassett is the MVP of Black Panther Wakanda Forever for me. Acting-wise, she just brings it in this movie like nobody else does. Like, she just acts she just carries like a certain like spirit and character from like the last movie, and I really, really appreciate it and enjoy that. Like Angela Bassett, we all know, is already a talented actress, but she's definitely like put all her chips on this one, and I really enjoyed her performance in this movie. Winston Duke is in this movie again. He ever since he was, I feel like he was in that first Black Panther movie, he's like taken off like substantially in the industry, and I was kind of happy to see him back in this movie. But I won't get too deep into it because I don't want to spoil too much for the movie, but I kind of was a little disappointed in his character in this movie. I think he makes a saving grace a little bit at the end of the movie with his character, just a little bit, not to get too much into it, but I was a little disappointed by Winston Duke's character in this movie. M'Baku, I was trying to figure out how to say his name again, but that's the problem. I fucking forgot his name in the movie. But Winston Duke, yeah, kind of a little disappointed in his performance in this movie, but he's still a very electrifying actor, and he has a kind of spirit that kind of commands the attention when he's on the screen, which I always enjoy. I still enjoy him in movies. I just don't feel like they wrote him the best in this movie. That's what I basically mean. They didn't write him the best in this movie, in my opinion. Lupita Nyong'o's character, Nakia, she was another amazing character, A+ for me, because she not only carried over the same power of her character from the last movie, she also like improved on it. There was Lupita Nyong'o's character definitely, in my opinion, had the most character development in this movie, which was really good to see. I didn't expect it to go the way it did for her character development, but I still like the drastic character development she had in this movie. I really liked that a lot. Now, Letitia Wright as Shuri. Everybody, I feel like, has a mixed bag about her performance in this movie. Now, I feel like it's the exact same thing as Winston Duke.
Are you sure about that?
I love Letitia Wright's portrayal of Shuri and every other portrayal that she's done as Shuri in any other Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. But here, I don't feel like they wrote her the best. But I also feel like the writers was booked into a corner a little bit with having to rewrite the script, because that wasn't their initial, you know, in my opinion, I don't feel like Shuri was supposed to be Black Panther at all. So that threw a complete monkey wrench in the script, I feel like, and having to have her be Black Panther. Oh, shit. Huh? I kind of spoiled that right there, but.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
She's usually like, she's like Winston Duke's character, where she commands the attention when she's on the screen. But in this movie, it kind of falls just slightly flat. And there's certain times where she's trying to demand the attention of the audience, and it kind of comes off a little silly sometimes. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's not her fault all the way. I mean, she does act in the part, but at the end of the day, like, the writers were booked into a corner, and I just believe she just wasn't written the best in this movie.
What, bro? What are you talking about, man?
Our good friend, where you at? Shit. I'm gonna be completely honest with y'all. I'm just gonna call him Namor. The guy who plays Namor, Namor.
Nigga, you gotta be ashamed of yourself, nigga.
Kind of fell flat on his face kind of character, in my opinion. Namor, for me, Namor is already, he's kind of like he is a powerful superhero, but what superhero really isn't powerful? Namor is kind of already like a B.
Today, Junior?
Or not even like B class. Namor is already kind of like, not like a top of my thoughts superhero. It's not one of my favorite superheroes.
It doesn't matter what you think!
B memorable for me. He has to have a portrayal that grabs me and absolutely keeps me like it stays rent free in my head. Like the character stays rent free in my head. When I witness a good character, just like Chadwick Boseman's portrayal of T'Challa for Black Panther, Lakeith Steinfeld's Cassius Green and Sorry to Bother You, just characters that are powerful and just stays rent free in my head and like makes me like just brings up my creative juices and makes me more and more want to pursue acting and film. Like those are the type of characters that I love. But characters like Namor, it's kind of already hard because he's not one of my favorite superheroes. So not only he's not one of my favorites, but you already have a hard job at, you know, this is the first arrival of this character and you have to almost hit it out the park, you know. And just like the first Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan's portrayal of Killmonger knocked it out the park. Lightning in the bottle with the movie and absolute home run with the character, where it was a great portrayal. Not many people, even like serious comic book fans, would know who Killmonger is. But at the same time, Michael B. Jordan did such a good portrayal where it stayed rent-free in your head. And now everybody puts Killmonger at the top of their MCU villains. So just like that, Namor would have kind of a same step to climb. And I don't think it hit at all.
Come on now, dog. Come on, man.
With the movie's pacing, this movie's 2 hours and 51 minutes. You can either do a lot in that 2 hours and 51 minutes, or you can do a lot and, you know, just scramble it all together, I guess. Which kind of kills me a little bit. I have to like really dock the movie a lot because of the pacing. The pacing just seems off. It just seems very like on and off, like a light switch. It's just like 1 second is going really fast and then the next second is, most of this movie's slow. I'm just going to be completely honest. Like I feel like this movie, especially after watching it the second time, this movie was really, really slow, especially during times with I'm sad to say, but Martin Freeman, who plays Agent Ross in this movie.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Terribly used, I will say, because I feel like he's not even like useful in this movie. Every scene he's in doesn't really push the plot in a significant way at all, and I feel like his talent is misused in this movie. I'm sorry, Bilbo. And that's why I kind of didn't even think to mention him, like in the beginning when I was talking about the cast, because it's just like, what was the point of him even being in this movie? I mean, that was extra time added into this movie for what? And that's something I will get upset about, because it's just like, this movie is 2 hours and 51 minutes and I saw it twice, and I mean, it's just it feels like 2 hours and 51 minutes. Endgame felt shorter than this, I promise you. But other than the pacing being bad, technically the visual effects are lightning times better than the first movie, in my opinion. I remember having kind of PTSD kind of memories of the first Black Panther and that final fight with Killmonger and T'Challa when they're in their suits, man. And I mean, like, it kind of makes you want to vomit and it makes the room spin a little bit and how bad that shit. But in this movie, I feel like they obviously heard a lot of those cries and they fixed a lot of that and they improved a lot of it.
Bullshit. 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 You bullshit, nephew. Bullshit.
So overall, like, yeah, visually, it's better to look at. It's great to look at. But that runtime, man, that runtime dims on me a lot. Because, and it's definitely that second showing. That second showing like did it in, because it was just like, man, this feels like 2 hours and 51 minutes, especially during these high exposition scenes. I feel like in the first hour of the movie, it does a good okay job with the pacing, but it also does the cinematic universe thing of, that's the one thing it does take from the cinematic universe. It does take the bouncing around from place to 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 place in a matter of fucking minutes, you know, very shortly. And it can be just a little bit a lot and a little bit too much when it comes to trying to tell this story. And overall, I feel like the story could have been condensed just a little bit. Not even a little bit. It could have been condensed a lot more than where it was at, a little, in my opinion. And look, after what they had to do, and I feel like this is the last time I want to say this, because I've already kind of let out my feelings about how I feel with, you know, Chadwick passing and, you know, everybody in production and everybody involved in the movie having to put in the extra effort to make sure that this movie not only gets out, but this movie is actually good. I appreciate that effort. But at the same time, I feel like there was also some things that could have been done to make this thing better. And from, I mean, mainly that pacing, the acting, I don't know. I think Letitia Wright is a good actor. I just, the writing, I felt like at certain parts was just not good at all. And that really hurt some of the characters, from Shuri to M'Baku to Agent Ross. You know, it hurt a few characters because the writing was very lackluster, in my opinion. But you still gotta give them the poet snaps for being able to make the necessary audibles when everything came crashing down for a second. But that's kind of like my, like, just full thread synopsis of how I feel. So kind of putting it all together in a simple, you know, simple way. I love the care. I have this weird thing where I can feel, you know, themes in movies, and it definitely hits like a ton of bricks for certain scenes, and that's a credit to the writing. But also the writing shoots itself in the foot with just, as they say in wrestling, overbooking and just overproducing and overwriting for certain things when it's not necessary. But the writing is here and there, but once you get to the end, it kind of falls flat a little bit. The visual effects are an improvement. Not the greatest thing I've seen, but it's definitely an improvement. The acting, even though there's a couple flat performances, in my opinion, I still think everybody pulls their weight very well, and it's a very powerful and emotional performances pulled by a few cast members, especially from Angela Bassett. Hold on, give me a second. My mouth's getting parched. Again, I have some wine here. Cabernet. Yeah, like I said, I'm a dry guy. I love Cabernet. I started off drinking sweet wine, but kind of moved on from that. I definitely don't like sweet red wine.
Man, what the fuck is you
what
talking
the
about?
What the fuck
man,
was that?
Man, I'm sorry. No, I wasn't thinking about it.
Okay. And what else? What else we got about this movie? Any other the synopsis things I gotta say? Let me give my overall synopsis about what I like about Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And then I'll give my 5-star rating, and then we'll move on to the spoiler section of the podcast. But so I'm really sorry that I can't pronounce, damn, there goes my phone. I'm really sorry that I can't pronounce the man that's played Namor's name. Like, I just don't want to butcher it. I don't want to butcher his name. But I'm going to call him by his name in the movie other than Namor. I'm going to call him the Kukulkan. The Kukulkan. That was his name in the movie. If once you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Kuku Khan. Let me give my overall synopsis about what I like about Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And then I'll give my 5-star rating, and then we'll move on to the spoiler section of the podcast. But overall, again, I love, I can feel how, you know, everybody involved cared about this movie being good and carrying on Chadwick's legacy. And I love that, especially as somebody that wants to pursue film, because I have weird thoughts that the industry is nothing but some weird ass shit going on all the time. And to actually see like some sincere things going on within the industry, also to a Black man, is very, very good to see, in my opinion. And just to see all those, the Black excellence that's involved, not just from the cast, but also to like Rihanna doing part of the score, to my guy Fafa, David, I can't say his last name. I'm just going to be David Nwale. I think that's how I'm not going to. Yeah, fuck it. The whole movie, like even the score. I'm such a fan of the score. How did I not bring up the score? The score was okay, but it was a lot of rehashing from the last movie. And I love the first Black Panther score. It was absolutely beautiful and perfect. Everything. But the score, I feel like, was it was pretty good.
About your arrest record.
What the hell?
Yo, the sign is real simple, B. It says wrap it up. Wrap that shit up, B.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Man, you want some too? You better wrap it up.
MCU tropes of too many jokes at times. Especially, god darn, man, I gotta bring her up in the spoiler section. I'll talk more about her, but Dominique Thorne, who plays Riri Williams, aka Ironheart, she is kind of like the comedic jester in the movie. She's the comedic relief, and she does a lot of the Marvel trope where she does a lot of jokes, and all the characters do a lot of jokes. Even Lupita Nyong'o's character does a few jokes from here and there. And it suffers from that MCU trope where it can be just a little bit too much at times. And the pacing is just all over the place for me, to the point where it's just the movie's too long for the pacing not to be consistent. You know, that like for 2 hours and 51 minutes, the pacing got to be on point for at least an hour and 50 minutes of that movie, aka 2 hours of that movie, in my opinion, for that movie to work for me. So with the pacing, and especially with the with the pacing and the acting, visual effects, everything thought in consideration, out of 5, I'm going to have to give Black Panther Wakanda Forever, I already did it on my Letterboxd, I gave it 3 stars. 3 stars, a solid 3 stars. I liked it. I liked it. Liked, not loved it.
Come on now, dawg. Come on, man.
But as somebody who loves movies, I gotta love how this movie was cared for. And that's basically my synopsis and non-spoiler review. I'll see you on the spoiler side. I at ya. All right. Got me a fresh glass port. Done with the non-spoiler review. Now, if you haven't seen the movie or you do not want to be spoiled,
this is the chopper!
Whole non-spoiler review. I advise you not to be in here. I advise you not to be in the room when this is being talked about expeditiously. I'm sorry, I won't talk like T.I. anymore. But let's get cracking to this non-spoiler review. Now, I feel like this movie, Black Panther Wakanda Forever, I feel like this movie started off just right. Just right. It starts off with Shuri. She's trying to get a heart-shaped herb.
Listen,
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
So they don't have any more shaped herbs anymore. So she's trying to make one because Chadwick, the king, T'Challa, is ill. And even like the machine, like the British Tony Stark, as people say, like, he's like saying, Tony Stark, British Jarvis, he's even saying like, don't even do this. Like, just stay beside your brother's side. And she's like, Shuri's desperate to get medicine made for Chadwick or King T'Challa, I'm sorry. And it's so sad because you finally see Angela Bassett's character, Queen Ramonda, come in, and you know, you see a look on her face and you already know what that face entails. And I mean, immediately, funeral scene. I mean, we're not even like 2 minutes in and we got this funeral scene. And this is one of the things, though, I was prepared for.
Bullshit. 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 You bullshit, nephew. Bullshit.
Major or vocal point of the story, or a very like major plot of the story. And the king dies, and they have this beautiful funeral scene that is shot very beautifully. The one thing, though, that I was like, kind of like, I turned my head on, though, was the scene where, like, you know, he's being lifted up in his casket, like the casket's being lifted up into the ship, and like the casket is vertical. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sorry, that's probably like my weird thought. Just like, I hope like the body don't like go forward. I hope he's like sealed in there. I'm like, or the body is in there, or is the body really in there? But that's just a dumb thought to have. I was drinking. Or the second time, I still had that thought the second time I saw it. I was just like, well.
Man, what the fuck is you talking about?
What the fuck was that?
I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking about it.
I mean, you watch as Shuri is grieving, and how Queen Ramonda is grieving, and it's tough to watch a little bit. And it's really hard to get through like those first like 5-7 minutes of grief. Cause it's like hitting you again, and damn, like Chadwick is really gone, man, which is so tough. Like, that is like terrible to really think about. I hate thinking about it, and you know, it's just sad. But moving on, they basically have like a council meeting with all the enforcers. I don't know what to say. This is a council meeting now. The queen is called in because they're not sharing their vibranium with all the other countries. And come to find out, the countries are trying to steal the vibranium. One night, I think it was like the French sent like some of their militia in to this submarine place, not the submarine place, but like this one spot that had vibranium there. And some Wakandas there, and they try to stick them up for it. But come to find out, they had the bodyguards was there. I gotta figure out the old girl's name. I can't figure it out right now. But Lupita Nyong'o and the girls was there, and they kicked their asses.
A few moments later.
Get him up, let him get up.
Fight back, nigga. Fight back, nigga. Fight back. Fight back.
Won't be like 30 or 40 minutes of exposition later on, like it's moving forward like that. Like, we started you off, gave you a little taste. Now sit your ass down and watch our story. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I kind of saw it. But the action scene was dope, and the queen is kind of putting everybody on notice, like, hey, we ain't gonna be putting up with your shit. And it was her like badass moment, but at the same time, Angela Bassett had hella badass moments in this movie. So that's just one of many. We move on, and we are introduced to the Cuckoo Guy.
Who?
Well, not completely.
Oh, man, is this?
Move to the submarine scene where these these Marines or these you know, military dudes believe that they found some vibranium in the middle of the ocean, and they send some submarine people down there, and they got like this chick. This chick showed up, and she seems like she like is the head of the operation, and she's kind of like shined a spotlight on, like she's gonna be like an important character or something like that. That's kind of the vibe I got. And it was this other guy that she was talking to, but I knew he was gonna get nerfed. But they basically shined a light on this chick, like she was gonna be like an important character in the movie. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And so they send these two submarine people down the ocean, not the two people I just talked about, these two randos, one chick and one dude. They send them down in the ocean. And as soon as they find the vibranium, of course, all their stuff, like all the powder cuts off. The dude is missing. I mean, completely missing. Like his antenna's like gone. Like, I mean, he's detached from the rope that he was attached to. Like, that's how missing he is. Like, somebody's like something swallowed this dude whole. And as soon as the chick realized he's gone, she's gone. So now we back to this chick that I was talking about. Maybe I could find.
Or here's another idea that's gonna be very controversial. You could shut the f- up.
You know what I'm saying? I kind of say I feel bad now. I feel bad, but that's just the, you know, I don't know. Like that's what happens when you write a character that I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Hobie Heffa. Lord, gee, what, you know what? I'm tired of your presence. Dismissed.
Weird aqua sound comes in, like this weird sound comes in when the submariners get captured. And everybody on the ship, all like the army people that were on the ship, they just jump off the ship. Like they like, I mean like they like looking straight. And they're like not jumping off. They're walking to the edge and just walking off the edge into like drowning themselves. And it's just like through this weird aqua sound that's going on. And they put in earplugs. The chick and the guy put in earplugs and they go outside. And the chick is like, it's Wakandans. It has to be. And of course, my black ass is like, oh, yeah, of course. There they go. Blaming the black people. First things first. Like, of course, it's the Wakandans. We in the middle of the ocean, and it's Wakandans. It has to be.
You don't find that suspicious. You don't find that suspicious. You don't find that suspicious. The
nerve when we find out that it's actually like these blue people, and like they kind of like look like Avatar people, but low key. But it's like these blue aqua people, and they come out the water, and like they nerf like the guy that was with her. But she gets away onto the helicopter, and you think she's going to get away. But this tide pulls the helicopter back, and they end up crashing into the ocean, and she dies. And then you get this silhouette in the sky, and it's this figure, and he's, like, flying. And you see, like, these little wings flapping on his ankles. Sorry, I don't like the Kukulkan's ankle wings. I don't like the... Oh, I'm sorry. I do not. I know they're comic book. That's why I don't like Namor as a superhero. Maybe I don't want to say don't like him, but that's why he's not one of my favorites. I just think, especially when you put that to live action terms, yeah, that didn't look good in my opinion. But yeah, that's kind of your first like Namor or Kukulkan interaction that you get right there. So time goes by, and the machine actually kind of going back. The army found the vibranium through this machine, like this vibranium. I don't know what the hell it was, but it was like this machine that can locate metals in the ocean or something like that, or vibranium specifically. And they found it, and they actually got it from this 19-year-old girl who goes to... What's the college called? Cambridge. Huh? Was it Cambridge? I think it was Cambridge. Hold on, let me check.
Look at this dumb motherfucker.
Cambridge? Was it Cambridge? Cambridge University?
I
Man, what the fuck is you
what
talking about?
What the fuck
about?
Was
niggas,
that?
Niggas, I'm sorry, niggas, 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 I wasn't man, thinking about it. Always,
I think, man, like, I don't know why. It's in Boston somewhere. I don't know why I thought Cambridge.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God.
They basically come across Dominique Thorne's character, Riri Williams, a.k.a. Lionheart, Ironheart. I'm thinking about Chris Jericho in wrestling.
Stupid idiot!
And immediately, she is portrayed as a hustler because she is hustling people for them funds. Like, hey, I did this project for you. Now give me $1,000.
Put your pussy lips on live, I'll give you $1,000.
Which is where they got that type of money. But, nah, she obviously, she's hustling people for money, but Shuri, and Lupita Nyong'o's character, Nakia, they went out on the field together to find her. Now, Angela Bassett, she was like, oh, hell nah, I am not letting Shuri go out into the field, but Lupita Nyong'o insisted, and they went out into the field together to go get Riri, and, Shuri actually convinced Nakia to go and get her alone, and she actually was almost successful. Little bit, she got a conversation with Riri in her dorm room, but Lupita showed up and immediately was pressing matters. She chose violence when she woke up, and this was one of the scenes where Lupita was throwing in jokes. This was definitely one of the scenes where Lupita was throwing in jokes I wasn't expecting. They were saying she had an ashy head.
Boy, if you don't...
I like this girl. That stuff, if you see it, you see it. Yeah, and it was just kind of a silly scene, and they basically force Riri to leave with her. And so they do, but first they have to go to her Riri's fucking base, basically, which is this warehouse, and it's basically with her life's work, and it's like not only a car in there, not only it's like hella different plans in there, a computer that probably that can like only be decrypted with like 18,000 passwords or some shit, but the fucking Ironheart suit, like the prototype Ironheart suit, and at that point they confirm like, how old are you? And she's like 19. Huh? I'm like, God damn, like 19, like you're doing this at 19. And that's one of my little issue that I feel like Riri Williams, aka Ironheart's character, should have been introduced in a completely different movie. I would have taken her in Civil War, or maybe even Secret Invasions, even maybe something that tied her, or some even tied her into Iron Man, because she is basically Iron Man 2.0 per se. And it's just like, just seeing her only on screen for less than 10 minutes and you're telling me all of this, it's just one of those things I just do not like in writing and in film. I just hate that shit. It's called plot convenience and I don't like it. But she got the prototype Ironheart suit, and they have to basically bounce because the popo is there. The fans are there, and they basically knew that they was there somehow. I don't know how popo knew that they was there, but they found them, and they gotta evacuate real fast. So Lupita takes the car.
I'm in my mom's car, bro.
And Shuri, she takes this bike that was in there. There was also a goddamn motorcycle in there. Shuri takes the motorcycle. Lupita didn't want her to, but Shuri posted like this like device that like took control of any like thing that it was on. So Lupita didn't have control of the car that she was in. So Shuri bounced on the motorcycle, which was dumb. But also, Riri took off in the Ironheart suit. And one of the funniest lines of the movie was said at that point. One of the feds that saw her first, as soon as she powered her up, you see the why am I forgetting everything now, like with comics? Like, I really hate that. Like, I naturally talk comics so well, but now it's probably the wine. It's definitely the wine.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. You bullshit, nephew. Bullshit.
Look at this dumb motherfucker.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
It feels so lovely to be here tonight. What a beautiful art. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so...
Man, I'm just like, as soon as you see the arc reactor power up, man, and then even it's just like, how the hell did she get her hands on the arc reactor? How did she build an arc reactor? But whatever. But at the same time, Tony Stark built an arc reactor in the cave. But nigga, he was in his 40s at that point. But whatever. Powers up the arc reactor, and then all you hear is, oh shit, she got an Iron Man suit. And that shit is hilarious. And then she blows out of the warehouse. All the girls blow out the warehouse. They lose the cops. And then they get on this bridge. And then freaking this fucking line comes out and then pulls Riri's Ironheart suit and just pulls her face. She face plants into the concrete, y'all. Like, all she got on is some damn goggles on. Like, all she got on are some goggles. And she face plants into the fucking ground. And I'm just like, she dead. She fucking dead. And she just knocked out, apparently. She's just knocked out because Shuri sees her. Shuri and Lupita catches up to her. And they check her pulses and she's alive. And I'm just like, how the fuck is she not dead right now? But, here they are. It's the Aqua people. It's the Avatar people. It's the Nawali. It's the Nawale people. That's what the Avatar people would call, right? I believe so. But it's the Avatar people. And they pull up on them. And it's basically like the lead commander. It's like the two commanders in chief pulled up. Two right-hand men and woman. One of them's a woman. But they both pull up. They have a Lupita. They fight. The general and everything, but Lupita looked like she had an upper hand at first.
Nope.
But they have like these fucking aqua bombs or something like that. They throw them at people and they just blow up water and it just throws everybody off, okay? So it threw Lupita off her game. It knocked Shuri out. So it knocked Lupita down. So Shuri basically said she'll surrender as long as they don't kill Lupita. So she surrendered with Riri. So they take Riri and Shuri. So you know Lupita's about, that's her ass when she get back home.
Wouldn't let that shit happen to me though.
I'm sorry. She gets back home. She gets back home and the queen, Angela, I mean, she, this is probably the best scene she had. Just raw emotion, just killing it. She basically fires Lupita. She removes her from her duties. And they had an argument because she basically said, like, Lupita said, I gave everything for y'all. I gave everything for y'all. But, man, the queen is like, man, I don't have nobody anymore. My dad.
You stupid.
My husband's dead. My son is dead. Rest in peace, brother. My daughter's gone now, and I don't even know if she's dead. Bro, get the hell up out of here. So she fires Lupita, which was really tough. That was tough. That was a tough scene, because I was sad to see that. I wasn't expecting that. So Lupita is fired. Let me get a swig real quick.
You're fired!
Lupita's fired now. And the queen... Oh, yeah. I keep skipping over these parts because they fucking...
I don't give a fuck.
Before Lupita and Shuri got into the altercation with the Avatar people and finding Riri, they basically stalked and found Agent Ross. He was in the woods and they had like this little bee that is like a fly, and they basically flew around him, and Agent Ross knew that it was like a bug like a bug, like a federal bug, not like from the feds, but he knew it was like from the Wakandans, and he followed it. And immediately I'm like, bro, that could have been anybody. And he just like, yeah, I know. He's just walking along, you know, just moseying on down, not knowing that it could be a goddamn clip waiting for his head on the other side of those trees. Have a pointless scene where they catch him all up to date, and that's where I'm not bringing up his scenes, because the scenes are absolutely pointless. That scene, the scene where he gets on the bridge and the crime on the bridge where everything happened with the fight and they captured Shuri and everything, her bees, she left her bees there, and Agent Ross found them under this fucking pad. But even then, you have to be skeptical, because there's hella agents around, and you just have to think, nobody didn't even try to look under that pad. Like, it was pretty obvious something was under that. You have all these professionals and nobody trying to look under it, but he gets it, and he communicates with the queen through those. Because after Shuri is lost and the queen fires Lupita, she gets a phone call from Agent Ross, and they just bringing everybody up to fucking speed, because what the hell Agent Ross can do? Agent Ross can't do nothing. Also, his ex-wife is in here. The chick from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I can't remember her name. She's basically going to be in Secret Invasions, I believe. But yeah, she's in it, and she's Agent Ross's ex-wife, and she's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatnot, and she's like, you know, our Fed, she's the head of the feds, and she's just like hanging out with him for some reason and all that shit. Knew this was gonna be some shit. But he's communicating with the queen, but the queen already knows there's only one way that she can find her daughter, and that was with the help of Okoye, with Danny. I can't say her last name, but Danny, get it.
Listen,
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
But Okoye, I actually appreciate, I liked her character too. I really liked her character. I'm sorry I didn't say her name in the synopsis.
You shouldn't have been talking shit.
Okoye, she did a really fine job in. I think she did the, you know what, as much as I was talking about people bringing over energy from the last movie, she brought over the energy and more, damn it. She was so darn good in this movie. She was so good in this movie.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
Especially in the end, which we will get to. But she brought it for sure. And she definitely had the most emotional scenes in this movie. Starting off with her introduction, with the queen coming to Haiti. Shout out to Dr. Umar Johnson. I'm just playing. I do not support Dr. Umar Johnson. I have to get back to Haiti.
They never like to see us win. Never like to see us win. Never.
Haiti. And she basically is taking care of these kids in this. I don't think she's taking care of these kids. She's basically a teacher. And it's dope she speaks French. As soon as they start speaking French, the queen comes in there. She sees Okoye and she's like, bonjour. And then Okoye is like, oh, queen. But the queen tells her, like, Shuri's missing and I don't know anybody else that can track her down other than you. And Okoye is like, but the queen was like, and then she was like, all right. So Okoye went ahead and was going on a mission to find Shuri. Now, I believe at this point we had like the Cuckoo Khan's backstory. Nah. So moving on. So Shuri and Riri's and the Cuckoo Khan's Leia, like they in the prison. And they basically, Shuri is summoned for a meeting with Namor. And he basically, once they meet up, just him and Shuri though. Once him and Shuri meets up, he basically gives her his whole fucking villain origin story and starts talking about his backstory, his mother, how they became blue people, how he became Namor. He didn't explain why he only has, he's the only one with wings on his feet, but maybe I should read more comics. He just went into their whole backstory and why he's the cuckoo god. It was kind of good up until the point where he was a kid and he was burying his mom, and you saw those white people invading that land and basically enslaving all those people. And Kuku Khan wasn't about that because he had to bury his mom there. And that's when he flew for the first time. And it looked so fucking goofy. It was one of the many scenes where the shit just looked goofy. Like, damn, boy. Like, I can see the strings from here.
Wow, dude.
Regardless, that's one of the scenes, too, with the pacing. Because as soon as Shuri and Namor meet for the first time, that scene has to be like 15 to 20 minutes of them just talking. And it's just like, you can get up, go to the bathroom.
A few moments later.
Still talking, still exposition. And Namor takes Shuri to their underground kingdom and everything. And they basically is trying to have is trying to convince Shuri basically that he has to kill Riri because she found the vibranium, which makes no sense. Like, what does that solve at all? Like, that wouldn't solve anything. But also, Namor has like this thing where he does not want to be he does not want him and his people discovered. Like, at this point, nobody knows about him and his people, so, or his underground kingdom or anything. And he does not want that to be known. The only people to know about that is the people of Wakanda. So, and not even them right now. It's just Shuri and the Queen, because he pulled up on them one night, the night after the funeral and everything. And the night Shuri and the Queen was having a conversation, I mean, Kuku Khan pulled up on them real quietly and told them to blow it into a seashell. So, yeah. But he basically was trying to tell her why he had to kill Riri, and Shuri's trying to come up with an ultimatum of why not to. But they couldn't. Shuri goes back to the prison with Riri, and she's like, bruh, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill you, bruh. But at that point, like, literally throughout that's how long that conversation was. That conversation was so long that Okoye was able to disguise herself as an exchange student in Haiti, trying to learn about Kuku Khan, had a whole meal and conversation with a random woman in the village that knew about the legend of Kuku Khan, and then she was able to get changed, summon like this weird submarine motorcycle to take her underground and get down there right when Shuri got back into the prison. That's how long that damn conversation was, that Okoye was able to infiltrate and find the whole kingdom within that little space of time. That's how long that damn conversation was.
You don't find that suspicious? You don't find that suspicious?
But we back. We back on this shit. And I'm kind of excited talking about this stuff. This wine got me a little rolling a little bit. So we're going to get this part two rolling right after this ad, and we'll be right back. See you in a sec. All right, then. Let's get to it. We don't, you know.
What are you waiting for, you dumb, stupid fuck?
So, Okoye, where we left off, Okoye infiltrated the kingdom, the Atlantis. I'm just going to call it the Atlantis kingdom, Namor's kingdom, and she took Shuri and Riri. And they got up out of there. Like, they end up having a distress helicopter and everything. Like, one of their little pilots and everything was ready to rock and roll, man. They got up out of there real quick. But by the time Namor realized it, man, they were gone. And he declared war at that point. He was like, man, we done playing with these dudes. It's wartime. So we back in Wakanda. Riri's getting accustomed to Wakanda and everything. The queen is happy that, you know, Shuri's back. What the fuck? Shit, Lupita Nyong'o still fired.
You're fired!
I gotta stop saying, that shit's annoying. Fuck. What's to happen? But now, this is finally when some action start happening again. I just realized also, like, dang, like, this movie had hella exposition, like, in between a lot of, like, the action. And the action was, like, cool, but it didn't last long. A lot of these action scenes was just, like, quick as hell, like, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. So we get to Wakanda, and at this point, everybody's chilling. Everybody think everything's sweet. Okoye and Lupita, they catching up, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm fired." She's like, "That's tragic," and but you start seeing some water pull up, and Namor, the Kuku Khan, and they crew, they starting to pull up in Wakanda. Now, the Wakanda defenses has been known to be very impenetrable, so the fact that they just happen to swim under like the shields and everything, that's just kind of funny to me. But they infiltrate again, and at this point they're launching a full-fledged attack. They sending people out, like they are flooding the main area of Wakanda where all the people are, and I mean they're grabbing people, pulling them into the water. And at this point, M'Baku is there, and he's like, "Oh, it's the fish boy." He went in there, saved some people, kicked a little ass, and then he saw Namor, pulled up on Namor. Namor's on the land at this point. He pulled up on Namor. Namor punched a hole in his chest, and he didn't kill him, but he just punched a hole in his chest, and M'Baku was like, "Ooh," and then just fucking knocked out. And I was like,
"Why are you gay?"
But, everybody's like on 10 at this point, trying to, like, you know, Wakanda was just caught off guard. That's just basically what happened.
Are we ready? I guess not.
Thrashed everybody. This was a very successful attack. The Wakandans was not ready. The Namor's people was like making people jump off ledges and stuff. They was grabbing them, pulling them in the water. Namor was wrecking ships. He was swimming, then going up, jumping up into the air. His swimming parts was cool, but as soon as he came up out that water and started flying all around his place with his little flappy little wings on his ankles, that's when it started looking very silly. But he wrecked everybody, and he just happened to know exactly where the queen and Riri was. So they was at the exact same spot. He pulled up to the wall window, couldn't get it open. He threw like 5 of those water grenades at the goddamn window, blows up the window, floods the whole throne room. They're in the throne room where, you know, the throne is at and everything, floods the whole room. And apparently the throne room is connected to like this glass underground, and I don't know what the hell I was looking at for a second, but basically Riri and the queen is underwater. They're drowning and Riri's out of it. The queen saves Riri. She gets her up the water. But by the time Shuri and everybody else gets to the throne room, Riri's out the water, but the queen is face down in the water. And that wasn't a good sign, but they happen to resuscitate Riri. But I'm sorry, I gotta take a drink for the queen. Unfortunately, the queen didn't make it. And that really kind of upset me a little bit, because I was really enjoying it.
Really about the GTO Pippuccini, that boy. Ego and Calgary, yeah, that boy. Oh,
Angela Bassett's performance, I really was. And she was kind of the rock for me in this movie, in my opinion. And as soon as she left this movie, I kind of checked out a little bit. Just a little bit. I kind of checked out. A little bit of the drama left a little bit for me.
It doesn't matter what you think!
The queen is gone, man, and we get a similar funeral that King T'Challa had in the beginning. White uniforms, sad music, black coffin, vertical coffin.
Man, what the fuck is you
what
talking about?
What the fuck
about,
was man? That?
I'm sorry, man. No, I wasn't thinking about it.
And it's just like, not like bad. It's just really, really sad, man. And at this point, Shuri has choices to make because she's the queen. She is the queen now. She's not the princess anymore. She is the queen. And not only like just the queen, she's the ruler of Wakanda. She is the rightful ruler of Wakanda now. And every decision lies on her shoulders, and M'Baku's like very concerned about that. But she's like, Shuri at this point is kind of like dead inside emotionally. She's lost everybody that personally like knew her. So she feels completely emotionally lost, which is so sad to see. And I think, you know what? As much as I complained, as much as like Letitia Wright's character wasn't written right and Shuri's character wasn't written right, she still put a really good performance in certain scenes like this one. Like that was a really good scene where I felt that, where it's just like she truly doesn't have anybody else. And M'Baku was like, you know, you too young, you know, for you to call yourself still a kid, you know, and it just sucks. I think that's what he said, but it's somewhere around that ballpark, but it was sad as hell. And that scene, you know, you kind of feel it, but this is where the movie kind of just, so at this point, Shuri's like, she's trying to get a heart sharp herb.
What did you say?
I don't know why I can't say it. I think it's because the grammar has been stripped from my mouth and I can't say heart-shaped herb.
Huh?
Heart-shaped herb.
Look at this dumb motherfucker.
Here we go. So Shuri's basically, she's trying to complete what she did. She's trying to finish what she started. With the heart shirt.
Get out of here, shame yourself.
She's trying to basically see if the ancestral planes are real. Because even though I haven't mentioned it, Shuri's kind of been like on and off with tradition. She just throws herself in technology. That's not just like a hobby. That's kind of her, not kind of, that's her life and that's her personality. And so for now, for her to be the queen, she has to not bury herself in technology, and she has to kind of get with tradition a little bit. And she has to understand how tradition and how her family's been moving over these past few years so she can move Wakanda correctly. And I think that was a cool aspect of it. And so she basically is doing everything she can to make the closest thing to, you know, the right herb as she can, and she finally did it. But it was like, I think it was like 98%, so, which ain't bad, but you know, 2% is 2%. So she tells she tells Okoye about it, and you know, she just wants her to get through it. So she tells Okoye and Riri about it, and she takes it and everything. And so she goes through like the phase, like the, I don't know, she goes through the other plane and everything. She goes to the other side, basically. So she gets to the other side and she's in the throne room, and she thinks it's her mom on the other side of the throne, but actually it's Killmonger.
Oh my god, bro.
Oh hell no, man. What the fuck, man?
And he's fake ass dreads, and it's like, okay. And it's, no, I didn't say okay. All the ladies is like, not like that, but it was, you know, all the ladies was going crazy.
Oh man, hey.
This scene was like 3 minutes with him, and I'm just like, that's it? Like, literally, that's it? Like, really? Really? Come on now. And it basically was Killmonger telling Shuri that you don't believe in the ancestral plane. You just want to get the job done. you want to kill that dude. You want to kill that dude, Kuku Khan. And she's like, man, nah, you, I don't accept you. And he's like, yes, you do. And then she wakes up and she don't tell, Okoye asked her who she saw and she refused to tell him, but just out of nowhere, Shuri got Black Panther powers now. The powers is granted on her now. So now she's super strong and now she knows that. And apparently she's been working on a suit for herself. And we saw the helmet immediately. But also she was working on this suit for the she was working on a new suit for the guard, for Lupita and the crew. And at first, like, first of all, I don't like the design of it, period. It looks very off-putting a little bit, but I do like the name of it, the Midnight Angel. Lupita, at first, her character is very put off at it, off with it at first because of the look. But when Shuri asked her, I'm gonna need you at my side, Lupita was like, I got you, dog. I'll put it on if you need me. I got you. So that's taken care of. So I'm like, okay, I can't wait to see them ugly ass suits in appearance. So Shuri appears for the first time as the Black Panther. Everybody's having a meeting at M'Baku's crib now because the throne room's temporarily destroyed. The throne room is temporarily destroyed. So chilling at M'Baku's crib and everybody's hashing out what they're going to do now. And that's when Shuri pulls up on them in a new Black Panther outfit. And I'm like, damn, she looks skinny as hell in that suit. And it's just like, that's a small observation. And with all the changes, maybe they didn't expect Shuri to be Black Panther. But at the same time, she looked skinny as hell in that suit. She was the exact same size from the first movie.
Well, let's be nice. Yeah. Let's be nice. We don't have to go there. I mean, you're not wrong, but you didn't have to say it. I mean, good Lord.
But this is where Shuri kind of gives her intentions of what she wants to do, because she asked for everybody to leave and to speak to M'Baku alone. And that's what she reveals to M'Baku, that, dude, I don't care about internal war, about killing this dude. He killed my mom. He invaded my land. Bro, I want him dead. I want him dead tonight. And M'Baku didn't say nothing, but she basically said her intentions right there. And she showed that little side of, you know, that conversation she had with Killmonger, wanting to actually get the job done in vengeance. You know, she's going more on the vengeance path rather than the forgiveness path or the righteous path of what her brother was on. As Killmonger said, her brother was too noble. And as you see right now, Shuri's not being very noble at this point in time in the movie. She's definitely on the side of vengeance, which will be such a dope arc in the movie. That's actually really good of an idea. It's just after that scene, I don't believe they didn't work on that anymore after that scene. Like she didn't titter tatter after that, you know. By the end of the movie, she was on the good side, and there was no doubt about that, you know. So it's just like that, you know. I feel like that was kind of a waste a little bit, unless they try to harp back on it in future movies. But Shuri basically is about to enact war on this dude, Kuku.
Who?
And they basically get up. She basically she recruits everybody she can, from Okoye to Riri, and she gets Riri working on a new Ironheart suit and everything. So she's like, she gets ready. She gets a big old ship, and they basically lure Kuku Khan and their whole army out to this big old ship that the Wakandans have now. And they're basically using like this sonic power in the water to slow them down, but that don't work for long. And Kuku Khan and his army basically gets on the side of the boat, and they're starting to invade. And that's when we basically see everybody have their moment. Shuri has her moment as Black Panther for the first time, and she plays with these little like sonic like boomers that she have on her hands, and those look all right. And basically the whole plan accordingly. I'm sorry that I haven't told the plan, but the whole plan of this mission was to draw out Namor and draw him out. And it's just like, duh, he's a fish. Like, of course, he can't survive without water for long. So it's just like, okay, so they get him. So they basically somehow get him inside of one of the Wakandan ships. And they have like a whole ass thermos set up in there with shields and everything. Shuri gets up in there too. So now it's just Shuri and Namor alone. And this is one of the scenes because Namor's in there and Shuri drops down in the ship. And this is one of the scenes where I can't take her seriously because it's just like, oh, because Namor's like, oh, it's you. And then it's just like, Shuri took off her mask. It's like, Leroy Jenkins. Man, what? I can't do it justice. I just sounded so dumb right there. But I can't do that scene justice.
Or, here's another idea that's going to be very controversial. You could shut the fuck up.
Riri's Ironheart suit, and it looks so CGI. It looks so gross. It looks so bulky and big, man. But at the same time, I can't hate it. I hate it. I don't like it that much.
It doesn't matter what you think!
I think I was about to call Riri Williams. I think Dominique Thorne, no disrespect to her. I think she did her thing in this movie. I think she did as much as she can with what they gave her. And yeah, but everybody kind of get their shining moments. And Baku gets his moment with the other commander dude. Ironheart gets her moment. And then freaking Lupita Nyong'o shows up. One of her friends in the new Midnight Angel outfits, which just stands out. They look very CGI, and I don't like those as much either. And they have a few different features. Plus, like the way the uniform set up, the helmet slids back, and so like it looks like the helmet don't stop like at the back of the neck. Usually, like a helmet when it glides off or comes off, it like micros off all the way back down to like the necro fibers. Now I want to sound smart. It comes all the way down to the neck. So then, you know, like it just shows the whole head. But this helmet, for some reason, just came back to like the back of the person's head, like literally the back of the person's head. So like it's covering the back of the head and the neck. So it looks like, you know, it looks like Stephen A. Smith's hairline, you know, like, it looks so like Lupita, she don't have any hair in the movie. So, like, it's like this blue line in the back of her head. So, it looks like if Stephen A. Smith was a Smurf and he had his blue hair, like, all the way, like, cut all the way back there. It just looked like a bad hairline all the way back there. Basically what I'm saying.
Your thoughts.
What? What? Who?
Basically what I'm saying. But that's one of the things, that's one of the small details. Like, I don't have to say it, but I'm just saying it. I don't know. You don't have to like that comment. I don't care. But, yeah, the fight's going on. It's a lot going on. And Namor is kind of drying out. And him and Shuri start boxing in the, he starts drying out a little bit. And he realized that, oh, if I kill the generators, the ship will go down. Duh. So he kills the generators. The ship don't go down, y'all. The ship like explodes into pieces, like micro pieces. And they survive and they have a battle on the beach. And of course, Namor is beating her ass for a minute. And she gets some good shots in. And he stabbed, at this point, Namor stabbed Shuri in the stomach with his spear, like through the spine, bro, like straight through the stomach. And I know y'all remember when I said she was very skinny in the suit, but he stabs her straight through the stomach, powers or not, bro. She's like impaled, attached to this rock, and she's dead, bro. She's dead. But she gets the power. She hears her mom talking to her. Show them who you are. And she snaps the spear off and slides off the spear. And I'm just like, how? How?
A few moments later.
So she finds the courage, musters up the courage, fights Namor, but she doesn't fight him anymore after that. She Namor turns around. She goes, Wakanda forever. And I don't know why, because the shit blew up into pieces. I don't know how it was that little piece of like the fucking burner, you know, the back of a plane where the burner, you know, the exhaust, basically. It, like, the back of the exhaust was still there. She said Wakanda forever. The exhaust turned on and blew the shit out of Namor's back. Cuckoo Khan goes down. 1, 2, 3. It's over. She puts a spear up to his neck. He yields and everything. Like that little glimpse of her being possibly evil and everything gone. Like, she's just like, bro, we can live together. Just don't, and I'll keep your secrets. I know you killed my mom and everything, but I keep your secrets. We can live together and everything. And then he's like, I yield, cool. And so basically after that, they pull up just in time before the Atlanteans, the Avatar people, push everybody off the fucking ship at this point. Because at this point, the Wakandans and everybody's getting bodied.
I ain't gonna lie, I'm getting cooked.
Pushed off the ship, but Shuri and Cuckoo Khan show up just in the nick of time to stop the war and bond everybody in peace. And that's how the war ended. That's how the Great Mountain Bound ended.
Shit, Negro, that's all you had to say.
This was a lot going on. And there was a couple things just going on where I was just like, why did they choose to do that? Like, it was just so weird because, well, I don't know, man. Like, the spear going through the stomach and then the ship just exploding into pieces. It was so much going on in such a short amount of time. Like, I just don't think that was worth 2 hours before all that happened. But that happens. That's okay. But at this point, Shuri sends Riri home. Her services are no longer needed. She's taking her talents back to Cambridge. Back to England, bro, which is not where she was going. But the car that Lupita was driving, it was basically Riri's dad's car, and it got kind of fucked up a little bit. So as a favor, Shuri fixed it all up and everything with the same parts her dad had and everything. So yeah, so she sends her back to Boston. But Shuri has one thing left to do in this movie. Oh yeah, Asia Ross at one point before all this fighting and everything. Oh yeah, right, Asia Ross. At one point, he wakes up in his house, like before the fighting and everything happens. He wakes up in his house and his ex-wife, who's the head of the feds, she's in his house. And he's like, why are you in my house? And she's like, oh, you want to tell me about these conversations you're having with the queen? And he's like, what are you talking about? Playing dumb. And she's like, stop playing dumb, dude. Like, I bugged the bud. Huh? I bugged the beads. I bugged the beads, bro. And he was like, he still was trying to play dumb. But it's just like, that's exactly what I was talking about. And especially after the second time, it's just like, you have all those professionals at that crime scene, and you think not one of them checked those bees, bro? You think not one of them? She was at that crime scene before him.
You stupid.
And she was like, I bugged the bees, and she heard all the conversations, and she basically arrested him in the house. So Asia Ross got arrested. All the fighting's over, and he's basically being transported to prison. He got the orange jumpsuit on. He got the handcuffs on and everything. They taking him downtown, baby. And he actually gets saved, though. He gets saved, of course, by Lupita and her Midnight Angel outfit, because she can fly now. They can fly now? Yeah, they can fly now. And she opens the door with the whole outfit on at first, and he's like, oh shit, she got an Iron Man suit on. No, he didn't say that. But she put back the headpiece, and then he's like, oh, thank God. And he's like, oh. And then Lupita probably said the funniest line in the movie. She was like, my favorite colonizer in chains. Now I've seen everything. I hope they didn't have this dude in this fucking movie just so they can make that damn joke. I just hope they didn't have him wasting 16 minutes in the goddamn plot just so they can make that joke. I just hope so. But probably we get to the end finally. And we are back in Haiti. And Okoye told Shuri that you are welcome in Haiti whenever you are whenever you please. So Shuri comes to Haiti. I need to stop saying Haiti, and to come and finally burn her dress from the funeral, from King T'Challa's funeral. Because that one night where her mom, where the queen and her was talking on the beach, they were supposed to burn their dresses in way of tradition when someone dies in their family. And she didn't want to, because if she burned her dress, all she could think about was her brother. And if she thought about her brother, she wants to burn the world. And she wants to burn the world and basically be evil. And that was kind of the start of that little evil arc. And it ended with that Killmonger scene, which they should have took advantage of that. But she's finally there to make amends. She's finally matured and she's ready to put the past in the past and get with tradition. And originally, she did it by herself. She was sitting there by herself and she burned the dress. And that's when the beautiful Rihanna feature come on. You get the credits, but it's not over there yet. It's the first end credit. And that's when Okoye comes up with this little boy. And this little boy was actually King T'Challa's son. And they had a son. Okoye and T'Challa had a son, but T'Challa didn't want her and him in Wakanda because of the pressure, and he didn't want them at the funeral either, which was kind of deep. And that's tough, man. That's a lot. But that was definitely probably the most emotional part of the movie. I probably said that twice already, but that's probably the most emotional part of the movie, hands down. Yeah, for sure. And then the kid says, "Yes, I'm
today, Junior.
I'm Prince T'Challa, son of King T'Challa." There you go. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. And then Shuri's happy. Okoye's happy. And then I'm actually like, okay, that's pretty good. It's just 2 hours and 51 minutes, man. Also, Shuri did not show up for the honorary, like, king ceremony where you have to fight for the throne. And Baku actually showed up to fight for the throne. So it's probably up there that he's the king of Wakanda now for the next movie, or if there is going to be a next movie. But, whew, that is the spoiler for Wakanda Forever. I mean, it was a lot because this is a long-ass movie, and I kind of wanted to go through this piece by piece. This is my first review, you know, back, you know, under the cinematic vineyard, and this shit was so fun. I had a ball-ass time. I'm sorry if I jibber-jabber for a long-ass time. I'm sorry if I, you know, mumbled a few times. I did get parched a lot, but I didn't want to interrupt too much with the wine drinking, you know? But I had a great time, y'all. I hope whoever's listening had a great time listening. Thank you for listening to the whole thing, if you made it this far. I really appreciate that.
Be here tonight. What a beautiful art. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so lovely.
Keep this shit rolling out, and I'm going to keep it moving. So until the next time, thank you so much for listening to the Cinematic Vineyard. It's your boy Mo, and until next time.
Bye, nigga!